I want to share with you a word that's on my heart tonight. If you'd bow with me in prayer just for a moment. Father, I want to thank you with all my heart tonight for how you have guided us, Lord, in this time in your house. It has been amazing that many of us have not even experienced any physical hunger. Our spiritual hunger has increased, but our physical hunger has not. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're showing us that whatever strength we will need in the days ahead, you will give it to us. Whatever is required in the service of people and your kingdom, you will give us the ability, Lord, to fulfill it. I thank you, God, with all my heart, Lord, for the enablement of your Holy Spirit. It is you, Lord, who promises us a new mind, a new heart, and a new spirit. And so tonight, we're asking that you would deliver us, God, from a worldly way of thinking, and that you would lift us, God, into the realms of eternity, so that we can begin to understand that all things are under your control. You have not, this world is not running, spinning out of control, Lord. You are at the right hand of all power and all authority. And every name that is named in this world and in the world to come is in subjection to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, based on that knowledge, we come to pray tonight. We come to believe that you will answer us and that we will live to see a moment of conscience and awakening in this nation. Thank you for what you're doing. God, we don't handle it lightly. We thank you, Lord, for having called us as a church to pray and to stand in the gap for this country. We thank you for the exposure that you've given to the gospel in this generation. Thank you for our part that you're calling us to play in all of those that you're raising at this time to be standard bearers of truth, calling a backslidden, wayward nation back to the ways of God. Help us, Lord, to be always servants to your body, never lords. God, always willing to be taught, open, God, to your instruction. We thank you for it, Lord, with everything in us. And I praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, which I've always believed is the church of New York, the Corinthian church, and he said these words, and I'll just read it to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you." And of course, the contentions were about leaders, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and Christ. There was a division getting into the body of Christ because people had a preference for specific leaders over others. And of course, in Paul's day and in this scripture, it was about religious leaders in the church, but it still was producing division. It was producing argument. And Paul was saying, I plead with you, brethren, that you speak the same thing and there be no divisions. So how is it possible? You know, you and I have opinions. We're not all lemmings just going off a cliff. We have opinions. God's given us a mind to think. So how is it possible that we could even remotely all speak the same thing? Well, there's really only one way that can happen, is when you and I ask God to give us the mind of Christ, to help us to see above the struggles, the trials, the divisions, the contentions of this world, and to start seeing things from heaven's perspective. When we do that, here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, Paul's saying to Timothy, I want you to pray, I want you to intercede, and I want you to give thanks for all men, for kings and those who are in authority. Now, how can I do that? What if I don't like who's in authority? How can I give thanks? There's only one way I know. I say, God, you say in your word that all kings and all in authority are planted there by you. You give us the leaders that you have determined that we need for this season in our country. Even if the leaders that you've appointed are for the express purpose of getting us back into the prayer closet again. God knows. God knows. That's where the peace that passes understanding comes from. It says, for kings and all who are in authority, giving of thanks for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. It means that we are at peace. We're at the place of saying, God, thank you. You've given us what we need at this moment in our history. Whatever it's going to take for an awakening, whatever it's going to take, God Almighty, I trust you. I'm not talking about sticking our heads in the sand. I'm talking about a peace that passes understanding. Before this, we dropped the curtain this evening, I was talking to those who were here about the situation where the early disciples were in an upper room. And the situation was anything but peaceful. The authorities were against Christ. Obviously, they had just crucified him. The society is not in the mood for the followers of Jesus Christ. There is a bloodlust in the society at that time. They're assembled in an upper room, the scripture says, for fear of the Jews. So there's fear in people's hearts about what's happening. There's this stirring. The people are afraid. And they're in that upper room. Jesus walks into the room, and the first thing out of his mouth is peace. Peace. The plan of God doesn't necessarily follow our understanding. We live in the realm, or the whole world lives in the realm of understanding. That's why we have this sewer of opinion today, and the vilifying and the yelling and the screaming and the blaming and all the stuff going on, because the world just lives in what it can see. But you and I are called to live in a higher place than that, a place where we understand God is in total control of all things. Christ was in effect saying, when he walked into that room, it looks really bad, doesn't it? But it's not out of God's control. As a matter of fact, everything is working exactly as it's supposed to. What looked to be a disaster was the perfect will of God being played out for the saving of humankind. But in the natural, it looked like the worst had occurred. Folks, we mustn't live there as believers in Christ. There's got to come a point where we trust God. There's got to come a point where we say, I believe you, Lord. I believe, God, that all things are working together for good. We love you. We are called according to your purpose. And nothing is happening that you have not allowed to happen for a specific reason. And the whole work of God on the earth is the saving of the lost, bringing them home out of sin and darkness and into the kingdom of God. That is the work of God. And whatever it takes for that to happen. People were praying in Elijah's day. I have no doubt about that. They were praying for the future of the nation. There had to be people. There were 7,000, the Bible says there, that hadn't bent their knee to the spirit of that age. And I'm sure they were crying out, God, help us. God, help us. God, save us. God, bring Israel back to her purpose again. God, be merciful to our children. God, help us. How does God answer? He stops the rain. You know, there had to be people that say, Lord, we're asking you to help us, not starve us to death. But God did what had to be done to get the people to that mountain, that his power might be shown again. That's who God is. And I'm believing, because my value system is the souls of men and the honor of God. And so all these other things to me are peripheral. I know the issues. I cast my vote like everybody else. Whether I won or lost, it doesn't really matter. I won either way, because I was going to be here tonight to pray with fervency for whoever won and became the leader of this nation. And you and I have to have the maturity to operate now as citizens of heaven. We live in another place. We have to have another mind. We have to understand God is in control and everything is working together for his purposes to be fulfilled. It doesn't mean we don't think. It doesn't mean we don't know the issues. It doesn't mean we don't have an opinion. It just means we have to have a higher opinion than the circumstances all around us. We look at this world from another vantage point. We are already at the throne of God in Christ. Did you know that? We are already seated together in heavenly places with Him. We've already passed through this world. We are already in victory in our Savior at the right hand of God. And now from that vantage point at the right hand of God, you and I are looking back on planet Earth, and our prayer is now, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on our cities. God, have mercy on our children. God, have mercy on our country. God, have mercy. Save a multitude, Lord Jesus. Whatever you have to do to cause the people to pray again, whatever you have to do. It's ironic that when he comes to the nation of Israel as a baby and subsequently as a savior, it's a time when they're occupied. It's a time when their nation is in turmoil. It's a time when their religion is being vilified. That's the time that God chooses to come. And being God and having his testimony on the earth, he could have changed all that, but he chose not to. It's amazing. And because he chose not to, you and I are here today. The victory of the cross was won. Sin was atoned for. You see, what looked to be in the natural a disastrous plan was the plan of God that brought you to Christ. I want you to think it through before we pray tonight, because Paul said we're to pray with supplications, we're to pray with intercessions, and we're to give thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We're to give thanks tonight. You're going to have to force yourself, some of you, to do that. But we're to give thanks. God, thank you. Thank you for President Trump tomorrow. Thank you for Vice President Pence. Thank you, God. As hard as you may find that, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lift you higher than just an opinion or an argument or a limited view of what God is doing in this society. I'm not trying to get you to agree with anything but God. Amen. Something higher. And we're going to pray, God, govern these leaders. Said, this is acceptable and good in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let there be a sweeping touch of heaven come upon our government. Lord Jesus Christ, convince these men and women of their need of you. Bring them to their knees. Have them start to pray. All things are possible with God. As impossible as it looks, all things are possible with God. Tonight we're going to pray about something higher than just winning or losing. We're going to pray with thanksgiving. And say, God, I want to thank you tonight. See, the world can't do this because they don't have the Spirit of God. But we have the Spirit of God. We are able to rise above the passions of our own hearts and say, God, according to your word, thank you. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't mean we agree with everything, but we choose to agree with God. Thank you. You've given us exactly what we need for your purposes and your reasons. And we may not fully understand it right now, but we will. One day we will know even as we are known. I'm at peace in my heart. You know, everything going on today lends itself to not being at peace, lends itself to wringing our hands. So what will we do? Where will we live? What will we eat? What will we wear? But honest to God, my heart is at peace. Because I'm not relying on any secular leader to do what only God can do. I realize that our nation is so divided. It's so torn in two that there's going to take a revival. It's going to take an awakening to heal us. And so that's what I'm believing for. I'm believing for God's house to be filled again. I'm believing for people of all cultures, backgrounds, races, and characters to come together and start to pray again. I'm believing for something deeper than I can see with my natural eyes. I really am. And I'm at rest in my heart. Because whatever it takes to win the lost is my value system now. Whatever it takes for God's name to be honored in this nation is where I stand. That's my ground. And God gives a peace that passes understanding. I mean, it's deeper, it's higher than what I know, what I see. It's something that can only come from Him. And so I challenge you to find that place in your heart so that you can be an agent for change in this divided, bitter time. That you can have a voice that speaks for God in your office, among your friends, in your apartment building, that when you open your mouth, a river of life and not death. Remember James, the apostle said, out of your mouth comes cursing and blessing. These things ought not to be. I can't be duplicitous in my speech. God, help us to be agents of truth and agents of healing at this moment especially. Give us a character, Lord, that's enviable. That even if people think we're foolish at the moment, when we walk away, in their heart they're saying, like they did in the book of Acts, where did he or she get that from? Where did they get that peace? Where did they, in the midst of in what was, in the book of Acts chapter 2, an occupied time in the nation, the people of God came out of that upper room and were speaking so positively about what God was going to do that people looked at them and said, well, what do we have to get that? Amazing, isn't it? The power in our speech, the power of the words we choose to say and how we choose to say them. I'm finding lately, sometimes I intend on saying something one way, but the Holy Spirit brings it out a completely different way. I find my words changing. They're just simply being altered by the Holy Spirit as I speak so as not to wound or hurt or divide. That's what it's like to be governed by the Spirit of God. And so tonight we're going to pray and we're going to give thanks. And we're going to believe God that somehow healing is going to come. Sovereignly, divinely. In a way we don't even see with our natural eyes. But somehow in our hearts we know. You know, when you sang tonight, in the name of Jesus, there's something rises in you now. It's like, oh God, this is so true. It's so true that you're answering our prayer. It's so true that you're doing something we can't see and don't fully understand with our natural mind. It's so true that you're on the throne and that your purposes are being realized, even in our time. It's so true that we're bankrupt as a nation. It's so true that we've lost our way. It's so true that we've called evil good and good evil. That's all true. We know that. But it's so true that as we call out to you, you've decided to show mercy. In the way that you choose to do that, to bring us back to your throne again as a people. It's so true that we need a healing, but we're looking for a miracle now. There's no amount of secular human effort that's going to produce this. It has to be God that produces the healing. That's so true. Scripture says, as much as is possible, live peaceably with all men. It's a choice that we make. I can choose to be bitter and divided, or I can choose to live peaceably and trust God. It's my choice. But I tell you, if you make the right choice, your words will have power. Your words will have power among your friends and your home, your office. Try it tomorrow. Just say, when it all starts, just say, God is in control of everything.